all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to share a couple of Native American creation tales with you in this half hour, starting with How Jack Rabbit Got His Very Long Ears, adapted by Heather Urbinskis, and that's published by Northland.
The Great Spirit made the world. He made the oceans, the mountains, the lowlands, and the forests. Then he mixed a bit of red clay with sand and blew it in each of the four directions, and the great desert of the southwest was formed. With dabs of paint here and there for yellow and purple flowers, and grays and greens for cactus and desert trees. It was a very pretty picture, indeed. Next, the Great Spirit needed a helper to run his errands on Earth. After all, a desert isn't made in a day, and the Great Spirit wanted it just so for all the creatures he would put to live there one day. He needed an animal who was fast and smart, and would be able to help settle the other creatures into their new desert homes. So he created Jack Rabbit. As the Great Spirit worked to make each animal, he took great time and care, for beneath its beauty, the desert hid many dangers for the unwary. There were thorns on most of the plants. There was very little water, and almost every day the sun burned hot. For outsiders, it was quite a forbidding place. But for the desert creatures, it would be a paradise. Jack Rabbit's job was to take the animals the Great Spirit created and lead them to their new homes. On the way, he was to explain, as the Great Spirit had explained to him, just how special they had been made so that they could survive in the desert. However, there were times when Jack Rabbit got bored, and he daydreamed about the days ahead when his job would be done and he and the other animals could gather and play. Because of this, he did not always listen carefully to what the Great Spirit told him about these creatures who were to be his friends. As Jack Rabbit took the desert tortoise down to Earth, Tortoise asked,
"Jack Rabbit, why is it that I am so slow?"
Jack Rabbit thought a minute, trying to remember what the Great Spirit had said.
Yes. It is because you're not as smart as I am.
Oh. And Tortoise sadly walked away. When Jack Rabbit took Bobcat down to Earth, Bobcat asked,
Jack Rabbit, why don't I have a long, beautiful tail instead of this stump?
Jack Rabbit thought a minute, trying to remember what the Great Spirit had told him.
Yes. It is because that's all there was. There were no more long tails left, Bobcat.
And he sadly padded away. Then, as Jack Rabbit brought Roadrunner down to Earth, Roadrunner asked,
Jack Rabbit, why don't I have the wings of an eagle so that I can soar high in the sky? I'm only able to fly from the ground to a tree.
Jack Rabbit thought a while, trying to remember the Great Spirit's words.
Yes. Because you're not as important as Eagle, so you can't fly as high as he can.
Oh.
And Roadrunner sadly fluttered away. When the Great Spirit had finished creating his animals, he looked down upon the desert to see how he had done. The animals had gathered to celebrate their new home. There was lots of laughing and hopping and flying and jumping and general merrymaking. The Great Spirit smiled at what he saw, but then he noticed three little figures off to the side. Tortoise, Bobcat, and Roadrunner looked very sad indeed. The Great Spirit came close to them and asked,
"How is it that you are so unhappy, my little friends? Don't you like your new home?"
Each one nodded, but Tortoise replied with a tear in his eye,
"I asked Jack Rabbit why it was that you made me so slow, and he said it was because I am not as smart as he."
Oh, Jack Rabbit must not have heard me well, because you are special. You alone do not need to run quickly for the shelter, my friend, because wherever you go, you are always home.
Oh, thank you.
And Tortoise walked away with a smile on his face.
Jack Rabbit said that I have a stump of a tail because you're out of long, beautiful ones.
Jack Rabbit must not have listened well, because you two are special. A long tail would only have gotten caught on all the thorns and kept you from moving quickly on your way.
Thank you.
And Bobcat walked away with a twinkle in his eye and a twitch of his short tail. With her head held low, Roadrunner sighed,
"I am not as important like the eagle in the sky, and that is why I shall never fly as high. That is what Jack Rabbit said."
Jack Rabbit surely did not pay attention, for you two are truly special. All that you need is close to the ground, and no one can travel as fast as you across it.
And Roadrunner fluffed her feathers and fleshed her toes proudly. As Roadrunner, Tortoise, and Bobcat joined the others, the Great Spirit was thoughtful.
Perhaps I made Jackrabbit too quickly. Not only did he create misunderstandings with his fellow creatures by not paying attention, but a rabbit who does not listen to what goes on around him will not survive in the desert.
So that night, while the animals slept, the Great Spirit changed Jack Rabbit's ordinary rabbit ears to much longer ones. And to this day, if you try to sneak up on a Jack Rabbit, you'll find he has very good hearing indeed.
Talk to you. Mr. Rabbit. Your coat's mighty gray.
Yes, bless God, it's made that way. Every little soul must shine, shine. Every little soul must shine, shine.
Mr. Rabbit, your ears are mighty long.
Bless God, they're put on wrong. Every little soul must shine, shine. Every little soul must shine, shine.
Mr. Rabbit, your ears are mighty thin.
Yes, bless God, they're splitting the wind. Every little soul must shine, shine. Every little soul must shine, shine.
Mr. Rabbit, your eyes are mighty red.
Yes, bless God, I'm almost dead. Every little soul must shine, shine. Every little soul must shine, shine.
Oh, for Alive sings Little White Duck and other children's favorites. That was the traditional tune, Mr. Rabbit. And in the background of the story was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album, Desert Dance. You are listening to Tell Us a Tale.
This is Bird Note. In his book, Welcome to Suburbia, John Marsluff offers a guide to living in proximity to birds and other wildlife. He's a professor of wildlife science at the University of Washington in Seattle. And here are his 10 commandments for happy coexistence with nature and birds in particular.
The first is, do not covet your neighbor's lawn. The lawn is really an ecological disaster of the highest magnitude. Second one is to keep your cats indoors. Thirdly, make your windows visible to birds. Fourthly, don't light up the night sky. Fifth, provide food, water, and nest boxes, other provisions that birds need. Six, do not kill native predators. Seven, foster a diversity of habitats within the cities where we live. Eighth, make the roads safer for wildlife and crossings of hazardous places in general safer. And nine, work with planning authorities to try to ensure that we have functional connections, those that are useful to animals between aquatic and terrestrial places in our cities. And finally, number 10 is to enjoy and bond with nature wherever you live. And that's very important because engaging with nature allows people to appreciate nature, build respect for it, care, wonder, and even love for nature.
For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
We are telling you some Native American creation tales in this half hour. And the next one, Rainbow Bridge, comes to us from the Chumash of Southern California. That's retold by Audrey Wood and published by Harcourt Brace Jovanovich.
Touch the sea. Hutosh, the earth goddess, walked alone. The birds and sea lions, flowers and trees, all were her friends. But still, Hutosh was not happy. The earth goddess longed to share her island home with people made in her own image. When the time was right, Hutosh climbed the highest mountain on Lemuel and gathered seeds from a sacred plant. Casting the seeds before her, she spoke.
As there are seeds scattered upon the earth, so shall there be people.
The seeds took root within the fertile soil and grew into plants. But when they opened, instead of flowering, people, male and female, young and old, stepped forth. This was the beginning of the Chumash tribe. The earth goddess was pleased with the people. They were like her children, and she loved them. That night, Hutosh raised her arms and called to her husband, the Milky Way.
Great wise sky snake, behold the Chumash people, who are beautiful and strong of limb.
Hearing her call, Sky Snake wrapped himself in a cloak of light and came down from his place in the heavens. He moved among the sleeping Chumash and looked into their faces. Sky Snake's heart went out to the people, and he loved them as if they were his own children.
It is true. The Chumash are beautiful and strong. But see how they sleep on the cold ground and have no warm food to eat.
Sky Snake returned to his home in the heavens and made a gift for the people. Opening his mouth, he struck out his tongue and sent a lightning bolt down to Lemuel. Where the lightning struck, a fire began to burn. Awakening from their cold sleep, the Chumash gathered joyfully around the fire. They danced and sang many praises. In the moons that followed, they learned how to keep the fire burning so that no one was cold at night, and they learned how to cook their food on the glowing embers. Now the Chumash grew in numbers until the village became busy and crowded. But once again, Hutosh was not happy. Too many children trampled flowers and frightened animals away. Too many mothers cooked on fires and sang to their infants. Too many fathers chanted and danced into the night. The earth goddess could not sleep. Her eyes were red and swollen. Her head throbbed from so much noise. Something had to be done. Hutosh entered the village to talk to the Chumash people, but one after another, they would not listen. Everyone was too loud and too busy.
What am I to do?
shade of a hut. A boy and a girl were quietly weaving baskets. The two friends recognized the goddess and saw that she was weary, so they invited her inside. The girl offered the goddess a bowl of acorn porridge. The boy filled a seashell with spring water and set it before her. Hutash tasted the porridge and then spoke.
Tell the people that Lemieux has grown crowded. In 3 days, half of you must leave and go to the land across the water. The other half may stay on my island.
Although he was frightened, the boy spoke up.
How can our people cross the ocean? The other land is far away. They will drown.
Tell the people that in 3 days, I will build them a bridge. Those who have chosen to leave will cross over the water on my bridge.
And without looking back, the goddess left the hut and climbed to the highest mountain on the Mew. When the boy and girl showed the people the bowl Hutash had eaten from and the seashell from which she had quenched her thirst, the Chumash listened. That day they held a great council and decided who should go to the new land and who should remain on the Mew. In 3 days, the village awakened to a wondrous sight. A rainbow bridge stretched from the highest mountain on Lemieux to the highest mountain on the land across the water. Soon families began to gather at the bridge. The girl's family was first in line, and the boy's family followed behind. When it came time to cross over, some of the Chumash were afraid, so Hutash gave them her blessing.
Go forth and fill the world with many children.
With her blessing in their ears, the people began their journey across the rainbow. Halfway over, the boy grew curious.
How can people walk across the sky on such a bridge?
Looking down through the rainbow at the rolling waves and the swirling fog, the boy grew dizzy. Although he tried to walk straight, he lost his balance and tumbled off the bridge. As he fell, he called out to the girl for help, but she did not hear. The boy was not alone. Some of the other Chumash also had looked down and were falling into the sea. On the island of Lemieux, the Earth Goddess heard their cries and saw that they were drowning. Hutash loved the people and could not bear to lose a single one. With a wave of her hand, the goddess swept away the fog and calmed the sea. And then she spoke.
As there are people who walk upon the land, so shall there be people who swim in the ocean.
With that, Hutash turned the drowning Chumash into dolphins, and they were saved. As the last person stepped off the bridge onto the new land, the Earth Goddess pursed her lips and blew into the sky. The rainbow bridge disappeared. Hutash looked about her and was pleased. Peace and happiness had returned to the island of Lemieux. But all was not well on the new land. At the foot of the bridge, the girl waited in vain for her friend. When the rainbow bridge disappeared, she knew he had fallen into the ocean, and she feared he was drowning. Bitter tears fell from the girl's eyes as she ran down the mountain, across the beach, and dove into the sea. She called out to her friend, hoping he would hear, but the boy was nowhere in sight. Then, from all sides, rising out of the waves, dolphins, male and female, young and old, surrounded the swimming girl. Jumping into the air, The dolphins called to each other in their whistling voices. One young dolphin boldly swam closer than all the rest. The girl looked into its dark eyes and was not afraid. She encircled its neck with her arms, and her sadness disappeared. For the girl understood then what the Chumash understand to this day. The dolphins of the sea are brothers and sisters of their tribe.
Ground of Rainbow Bridge was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album Desert Dance. Well, we're going to close out this half hour with a tune off Rick Scott's album Making Faces called Way Out There. So we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
Five people in a wooden canoe. Now what do? You're in a canoe, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you. There's a wise old pelican sitting on a rock.
Way out there.
Oh, wise old pelican sitting on a rock. With a belly full of fish, it's a wonderful wish. It's a pelican, pelican's favorite dish.
Way out
there's a great gray whale splashing around.
Way out there.
Oh, the great gray whale is splashing around.
Way out there.
What a wonderful sound as she splashes around. The big fat fluke flops up and down.
Up and down, up and down, up and down.
Way out
can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce. The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.